All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Exciting daf ahead of us today. Daf Nun, page 50. We are picking up on Mem Tes on base 49B. And we are picking up 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Nachman. Bosai Ashur this morning is dedicated by the Shrek family in commemoration of the upcoming yard site of Freda Bas Moshe Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. The Shir. Yes, I have. I mean, thank you. Perfect. Thank you. The Shir is also dedicated this morning in the Zechus of Arafua Shalema for Batya Sara Bas Shena and Daniela Bas Ronit. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, they will have a complete and enduring Rafua. We'll say with that, let's begin. Amar Rav Nachman, Cheleva Asay Kekova, in associate. So we'll say literally again, the fats, the chalif that is shaped like a kova, like a hat or like a helmet, does not plug up holes that exist within any of the internal organs. So the Gemara says, Hechi Amrele. So we'll say, which fat are we referring to? So the Gemara says, Hechi, which fats? Amrele Chiti Dekarkasha. Some say it refers to some of the fats within the rectum. But Amrele Tarfisha Deliba. Others say it refers to the fats which exist around the heart. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Shamis Meid Rav Nachman Tarti. I heard from Rav Nachman two halachas. Chintza ubar chintza. Chad sasim, v'chad lo sasim, v'lo yidana heminayu. So I heard from Nachman two things. There are these two different fats. One's called chintza, one's called bar chintza. One of them is able to plug up a hole, one of them is not. The only problem is, I don't know which is which. Ravuna bar chinna, Ravuna bar Rav Nachman, Amar bar chimsa sasim, chimsa lo sasim. They explained it's the bar chimsa fat that plugs up the hole. The chimsa fat does not. And how do you remember this? Amar av tavos v'simanich, yofet koach haben mikoach haav. We'll say there's an expression that the son has greater vitality than the father. So therefore, again, a little bit of a fair words, the bar chimsa, right, has greater qualities than the chimsa. Fat. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, Hey chimsa ve hey bar chimsa. So by the way, which fats are these? The chimsa and bar chimsa fats? Tashma dam Rav Nachman, in hu mecho achli. Bose, take a look at Rashi. Mecho achli le dikasavri chilef tarhu. So let's listen to this. So Rav Nachman felt that in general, the chimsa, or just, we'll see one of these fats, is permitted to be consumed. Mecho achli, tap of nun. Ulididan mistam nami losasim. So is it possible that ultimately, again, a fat that for Rav Nachman ultimately was permitted to for consumption, for us doesn't even have the qualities that it's able to go ahead and plug up a hole? Rashi says, Ulididan, top Rashi Nunam Adalif, Ulididan afilu mistam nami losasim, bitmya, Lididan bene bavel. So interestingly enough, apparently this bar chimtza fat was the subject of machlokes. Rav Nachman ultimately said that the bar chimtza fat ultimately again was permitted for consumption. But for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, they felt that it didn't even plug up the hole. To which the Gemara said, Ulididan, mistam nami lo sasim, diskashta, so the Gemara says, let's qualify this. Diskashta kuli amalo pligidasar. They both say, when it comes ultimately again to the fat, this is called the bow of the stomach. We're going to get into this a little bit more. When it comes to the fat that's on the bow of the stomach, everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, it is aser. Ki pligi. So we'll say, where does the machlokis come up? De'iyasra, on the fat of the bowstring. So I'll say, these are just different parts of the stomach. Ika da'amri, de'iyasra kuli amalo pligi de'shari. Some say that ultimately, again, the fat on the bowstring of the stomach, everyone agrees that it's permitted. Ki pligi da'akashta. So where do they argue on the fat of the bow of the stomach? Ki hada amrav avi, amrav ami. Mekamtsin. So what says Rav Avi Sani Rami Mekamtsin? I will say Mekamtsin means the process by which if you want to go ahead and eat some of the fat, or if the fat is permitted, you shave off the top layer of the fat before consuming it. If you take a look at Rashi, not yet. Not yet. So mekamsin. V'chin amar Rabbi Yanai says mishum zakin echad mekamsin. That if you want to eat of this fat, you have to go ahead and shave off the top layer of the fat. But say the logic behind that is because even some of these permitted fats sit next to other parts of prohibited fats. So because of that, because there's the contact between the permitted chaylev and the prohibited chaylev, therefore you go and you remedy that by removing the upper layer of the permitted chaylev. Amar Avavya, hava ka'imno kamed Rabbi Ami. I was standing once before Rabbi Ami. Kamsu v'havi leva achol. They removed the top layer of the fat. They gave it to him and he consumed it. Shamed Rabbi Chanina. Havakai kamed Rabbi Chanina. So we'll say the attendant of Rabbi Chanina was sitting before or was standing before Rabbi Chanina. Amarle kamutz havli de'echol. So take off the upper layer of the fat and give it to me to eat. Give it to me to eat. So the Gemara says chazye. So he saw, so Rabbi Chanina saw that his attendant, his servant, was like wavering. Rashi says, Kamechasim, Rashi says over here, Loshon lo sachsom megamgim. He was unsure about whether or not that this was actually permitted. Amarle, Bavlo at gum shadi. He says, you are a Babylonian. Rashi says, that's not an insult, by the way. Bavlaat, Rashi says, Shina gobo iser. You are a Babylonian who does not eat this type of fat. Gum. Chotoch ad ikara kula vahashlech. It's okay, just throw it away. Throw it away. So the Gemara says as follows. Tanya, b'shimming on miolomer. B'nei ma'ayin shenikvu. So what's this next case? So b'nei ma'ayin, we'll say intestines, right? Intestines that developed a perforation. V'lecha sos masan. And I will say liquid, we'll discuss this in just a moment, but liquid from the intestines comes and plugs up the hole. Kshera. Ultimately, again, the animal is kosher. Mailecha. I will say, what liquid is this referring to? Amrav Kahana, shirka denmaya denafik agav duchka. It's apparently, again, the sticky liquid of these, the sticky liquid of the intestines that comes out as a result of squeezing the intestines. Gemiri Chavrei Rabbi Abba, me Rabbi Abba. So we'll say the Chavrei of Rabbi Abba learned out from Rabbi Abba. Umanu, and who are we referring to? We'll say Umanu, Rabbi Zera. Va'amrili Chavrei Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera. And others say it was the friends of Rabbi Zera learned from Rabbi Zera. Umanu, who were they? Rabbi Abba, Berei Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, we'll say, so that, bottom line, first wide line, Anun Amad Aleph. So here is the halacha. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel betreifa, v'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel be'evel. Suppose it's actually very interesting. So now I will say they said two things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by the case of treifa, and the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon in the case of avel. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel betreifa, hadamra. So we'll say the halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is what we just said. That if the intestines develop a perforation, right, and that perforation is plugged up by the liquids of the intestines, right? And that's the sticky liquid, I don't know the technical term, but the sticky intestinal liquid that only comes out when the intestines are squeezed. If those liquids plug up the hole, the animal is kosher. Someone halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel like that. Furthermore, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon by Avelos. What's the case by Avelos? Well, it's actually quite interesting. So Mahi, Ba'avel Mahi, what's the case of Avelos? Here we go. This Nan. Rose, third line down, Nun Amadala from the wide lines. Kol Shloshim Harishonim. Rose, for the first 3 days, just one word of background to this. In Hilchos Avelos, Rose, in the laws of Shiva, so the first 3 days are often reckoned separately than the rest of the remaining days of Shiva. For example, there's a halacha which is not really observed today as much, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes an opinion that says, we're not Menachem Avel for the first 3 days. Don't do a Nichum Avelim for the first 3 days. Right? So because the first 3 days, the Gemara says, are reserved for Bechi. Right? For intense crying. Nichum Avelim then comes for the subsequent days. So again, for a variety of different reasons, this halacha is not really observed as much today. But in any event, the first 3 days are always looked at as a separate independent unit from the last four. Now watch this. Kosh Loshim HaRishon will say, so if the Avelim, here's the following situation. You have a family who is sitting Shiva. One of the family members was not there for the beginning of Shiva. So the Shaila, of course, is, does he join the Shiva clock, we'll call it, of the rest of the family who are already sitting, or does he sit Shiva according to his own schedule? See, here we go. Kol shlosh yomim harishonim, for the first 3 days of Shiva, bami makom karov koret kot mona imahem. Let's say if the aval was close by, so again, if the aval who was not sitting with the family was close by, as long as he shows up somewhere within the first, sometime within the first 3 days, he goes according to the Shiva count of the family members who are already sitting. Now, if we look at Rashi just a moment, first white line in Rashi, Bami makom karov, im lo haya echad min ha'avelim babayis, if one of the mourners was not in the Shiva home, v'haya b'makom karov, but he was close by. What's the definition of close by? Bisoch mahaloch yom echad. What's the definition of close by is less than 1 day's journey away. Verahu ladas ba bayom. Now, the logic therefore is he could have known about the loss. Af api shelo yada chal avelos alav ubilvach yeva bisoch shloshi yamim. So, just to understand the case over here, the case is actually where one of the family members did not know about the death. He did not know. So what happens? The rest of the family member died, buried, the family members are sitting Shiva. There was another family member who just found out. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? So as long as he is within 1 day's journey, what we call makom karov, and he shows up within the first 3 days of the Shiva, he goes according to the rest of the family's count. Goes according to the rest of the family's count. And halacha lemaaseh again, sits Shiva with them. So the Gemara says, Mimakom rachok, but if he was too far away, which Rabbi Osai is defined as more than a day's journey away, then mona liatzmo. Halacha lemaaseh, he has his own count. If he's makom karov, Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, he's counted along with the family from the beginning. Makom rachok, he goes according to his own count. Mikan ve'elech, but I will say after the first 3 days, afilu ba mimakom karov mona liatzmo. After the first days, even if he's coming from somewhere close by, nevertheless, what? He counts on his own. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu bayom hashvi. Even if he doesn't show up till the seventh day, last day of Shiva, ba mimakom karov mona ima. So we'll say Rabbi Shimon holds that halacha lemaisa, as long as you are makom karov, whenever you show up, you go according to the count of the family members, right? You go according to the count of the family members. So we'll say machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama. Tanakama ultimately telling me if you show up within the first 3 days, you're counted like them. After the first 3 days, you're on your own. Rabbi Shimon, as long as you are makom karov, no matter when you show up, you can always count in accordance with the family who is sitting. Amar, man duhu iski, ve'isik ve'agmara l'shmaite mipume demara. So he said, who is going, if only I would have the schus to be able to hear this halacha straight from the mouth of the man who said it. Therefore, again, kisalik, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, ashkechid rabbi abba b'reid rabbi chiyah barabba, so he found Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and he said, tell me, Rabbi, did you say that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon on the case of Trefa? No. I think you got a little bit mixed up. I said the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon on the about Trefa. Once again, remember, just to point out over here, we're talking about a very specific case of the intestines, where there's a perforation in the intestines, and the intestines are then, the hole is plugged up by the intestinal fluid. So now we're saying that halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What about Rabbi Shimon Be'eval Mai? What about, did you say that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon by Avelos? Amar they plugged in who? So in reality, this is a machlokas. Di'it ma'a Rav Chista amar halacha. V'chin amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha. V'ar Rav Nachman amar in halacha. So what says you have a machlokas? Right, some say the halacha does follow him, others say halacha doesn't follow him, and we are not says ein halacha, ve'ein halacha k'reb shimin gamliel b'treifa, halacha k'reb shimin be'eva. So we'll say bottom line, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel by treifa. And therefore, again, I will say if you have a perforation in the intestine, and that perforation is plugged up by the intestinal fluid, the animal is a treifa. It doesn't work. But the halacha does follow Rabbi Shimon in the case of avelos. And therefore, what Rabbi say? Even if the aval shows up on day 7, right? As long as what? He was b'makom karov, halacha lemaisa, he sits Shiva in accordance with the schedule the family were already sitting. We'll say why. The truth is, this is part of a larger principle. D'amr Shmuel, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eval. Because we also have a general principle that says, The halacha follows the one who is lenient in matters of avelos. So we'll say that has to do with the fact of a general suffek dirabanan, right? Avelos again is dirabanan, and a lot of, right? So therefore the halacha follows that the beko by avelos. Good. Amar of simi barchiya. Makifin bibnei me'ayin. So we'll say actually a very interesting case. You could compare, so we'll say, one of the shilas that comes up is the following situation. You, let's say, have a perforated intestine, although it's not unique to the intestine. It could be anything. And you have a concern. Did these perforations develop before the shechita or after the shechita? So, of course, you'll say, who cares? So we'll say, care a lot. Why? Before the shechita, the animal is a trefa, right? After the shechita, the animal could be totally fine. We saw this yesterday, if you remember again, with the case of the parasitic worm. Right? Did the worm come out of the lungs before the shechita, after the shechita? So let's say now I have a situation, I'm just not sure. So what could I do? The Gemara says, makifin bibnei me'ayin. We'll say, so what you can do is, you could compare intestines. Now what does that mean, you could compare intestines? Rashi says, look at Rashi, makifin bibnei me'ayin. If I have intestines, and the intestines are perforated, but I don't know, did the perforation occur before the shechita or after the shechita? Nokvin nekev echad bitzido, v'roin imar ehen shavin kasher, debiyaduo shela achar shechita. I will say, it's actually amazing. So what do you do? So I have the intestine, I'm holding the kishka, right? And what happens? It has a perforation. I don't know, did the perforation occur before the shechita or shechita? It's very simple. So what do? Make another perforation. See what it looks like. Right? So apparently, I will say, a perforation that occurred before shechita will look different than a perforation which occurred after shechita. So because of that, says the Gemara, make another perforation, and ultimately, again, compare the two side by side. So the Gemara says, so you could compare. So the Gemara says, we'll say, now the novelty in this is, I would have thought, just very simply, what's the halacha, if you're not sure, what's the halacha? L'chumra, right? L'chumra, something that I said l'chumra, and therefore again it's a treifa. We'll say the chiddush over here is I am permitted to go ahead and compare these things. So the Gemara says, "Hano b'nei me'ayim d'asul kame d'rabi d'ravas." Well, listen to this. There was this case of these intestines that showed up before Rava, right? The Imam just showed up. So what happens? Akfinhu v'lo idni. So we'll say, so what happens? So Rava does the comparison test. He wasn't sure, did they become perfect before Shechita after Shechita? So we'll say, what he does is, he makes another puncture, but the truth is, the punctures didn't really look the same. Watch this. Asra Misharshia Breisra. Misharshia's son comes along. Nanashmish Bahu V'idmu. So we'll say, what did he do? This is amazing. So the son of Misharshia took his hands and rubbed it all over the new puncture. And suddenly, V'idmu, they looked alike. And we'll say, now what's the pshat? Amr lei. So we'll say, so what did his son realize? His son realized they're not going to look alike. Well, let's say, so Rabbi turns to his son. Amr lechav, Amr lei minalach. What did you just do exactly? Amr lei, kama yadi memashmashu bahani, mikamei delesi mikamei demar. So we'll say, so ultimately again, Rabbi Sharshia says to his father, Father, do you know how many hands were on those intestines? Right? In other words, you're not the first person to take a look at these intestines. A lot of people look, so we'll say, so again, the more they're handled, so it looks different, obviously. You know how handled intestines look, you know, like, you know, say, so again, the more sets of hands you have on it, the more schmutz gets on it. So I say, so this is amazing. So again, what the son was saying was, to compare apples to apples, or intestines to intestines, right, you mamish, like, the new perforation has to look at least as handled as the original perforation. So Amalei, Chachim bari b'treifes k'rebi Yochanan. So let's say Rava said about his son of Misharshia, my son is as wise when it comes to treifes like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan apparently was considered to be the expert in treifes. Incredible. We'll say Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, the Amri Tarvayhu, Makif and Berea. Similarly, again, we could compare lungs. If you have a puncture in the lung, you could compare one set of lungs to another set of lungs. Or I will say, I take that back. You don't even have to compare one set to another. What you could do is what? You just make another puncture. And you compare what the first puncture looks like. So say, the good thing is, in the second puncture, you know with absolute certainty that's what? That it happened after Shechita. That you know. So now you know what a post-Shechita puncture looks like. Good. compare it to the first puncture you have and see what you got. Amar Rava, lo amar ela ba'osaruga. So also Rava said that's only in the same row of lobes. Avam me aruga la aruga lobe. Rava said, but obviously from one row of lobes to another row of lobes is not going to work. Ve'elchasa, afilo me aruga la aruga. Oh, so Rava said, but that is not true. In fact, the halacha is even from one row of lobes to another row of lobes, midaka ledaka. Bravo said that is only true. Rashi says midaka ledaka afila behema acheres dugmasa umigasa lagasa avalo migasa ledaka avalo midaka lagasa. I will say that, however, the animals themselves must be comparable. Ultimately, again, so you could even compare one set of lungs to another set of lungs, but again, the animals have to be in the same weight class, or at least the same categorical class. Abai Brava. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, so now, these are all halachas. So first of all, again, with the intestines, we see, and again, it's not just unique to intestines, but apparently one of the things that you have to keep in mind with perforation comparisons is how many times the organ has been handled. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to lung comparisons, you could even compare from lobe to lobe, and that's not problematic. Abai Brava, Javinja Abaihu. Makif and Bekana. Rabbi will say you can go ahead, and if you have a hole Rabbi will say this will be a case in the trachea. So ultimately, again, you could compare holes in the trachea, mikana lakana. So we'll say the kana is the upper band, right? So you could go ahead and compare one part of the band to the other part of the band. Amar Papa lo, amar ela ba'osa chulya, aval michulya lechulya lo. Rabbi will say, so again, remember, the chulya is a three-ring part of the band. So you could only go ahead and compare, right, within the same three-ring band. But from one chulya to another chulya, you can't. Vilchasa, and actually the halacha says differently. Afilo mechulya lechulya, So the halacha is, you could compare one three band to another three band, but what? What can't you do? You can't compare a hole on the top of the trachea to the bottom of the trachea. So we'll say, so on the top of the trachea, you could compare one hole to another hole, even if they're not part of the same three-ring band, but you cannot compare a hole on the top to a hole on the bottom. So we'll say, so again, the idea being, you see clearly the Gemara is espousing over here, it just has to be a similar comparison. So similar is defined by the same type of animal and ultimately, again, same general region, not the same region. But halacha lemaisa, again, if it's too dissimilar, then ultimately, again, you cannot go ahead and compare them. Good, so Gemara goes weiter. Amar Zeiri, chalcholes shenikva. I will say this is the rectum. If the rectum was perforated, so what's the halacha kshera? Ultimately, again, the animal is still kasher. Why? Hovil v'rechayim ma'amidos osa. Because you're both saying, in an animal, this is in a behema gasa, so the rectum is situated between the hips. So interestingly enough, even if the rectum is perforated, the hips hold it in place. So there is, I guess the concern over here is about some type of like collapsed rectum, something which would render the animal a trefa. But over here, because the hips hold the rectum in place, therefore there's not a problem. The kama. So we'll say ultimately again, how much has to be intact? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, makom hadavik berubo. As long as it adheres to the hips in its majority, ultimately again, the animal will be kosher. Shelo b'makom hadavik. Bimashu. But we'll say ultimately again, if it's not in the place where it's attached, then even a mashu could be problematic. Amar lav mi amina luchu. Have I not told you before? Lo titlu bei buki siriki. We'll say, do not go ahead and attribute to Rav Nachman empty vessels. In other words, we'll say, which is another way of saying, you guys are always misquoting Rav Nachman. Right? How many times have I told you, stop misquoting Rav Nachman? We'll say, so in other words, stop hanging on him empty vessels. Rather, Hachi Om Rav Nachman, this is what Rav Nachman said, Makom Hadabak Afilu Nita Kulo Kasha. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting. So Rav Nachman said, we'll say, when it comes to the rectum, in the place where it is, quote-unquote, attached to the hips, which really means, like, supported by the hips, afilu nital kulo kosher. Even if the entire rectum is missing, the animal is still kosher. V'hu shenishtayir bo k'dei tefisa. As long as there is enough of the rectum that is left to hold on to. We'll say, how much does that mean? Amar Abaye kimali bitida bitura. We'll say, for example, in a Torah, in an ox, right, in a shar, as long as there's the width of a finger left of the rectum, ultimately, again, the animal will be kosher. So I will say, this is actually quite an amazing halacha, as you can see, codified by the Shulchan Aruch itself, that halacha l'maisa, as long as, right, even if the majority of the rectum is actually missing, right, the halacha is, as long as there's some little bit left in the area between the hips, the animal will not be a treifa. Incredible. Okay, weiter. Says the Gemara, hakeres hapnimis. So also, if you remember again, so the Mishnah said, the Mishnah began speaking about the stomachs of the animal. This is the, So the Mishnah said, hakeres hapnimis shenikva, if the inner stomach went ahead and was perforated, o shenikra rov hachitzona, or ultimately, again, or if the majority of the outer stomach was torn. So as I say now, this is the keres hapanim shenikva. If it's just perforated at all, it's going to be a treifa. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Heyid nasan bar shila reish tamchia ditzipuri, ditzipuri lefnei Rebbe. So I will say, nasan bar shila, who was the chief butcher in Tzipori, he testified before Rebbe, Mishum Rabbi Nasan. Ezo hi keres hapanimis. I will say, what is this keres hapanimis? So it's often translated as the paunch. So what is this? So the Gemara says, Sanya. It is what is called the sisum. Sikum. Right? C-E-C-U-M. Right? The sikum. Sanya dibi. It is called, so we'll say, interestingly enough, so the way we're going to translate this is, sikum, I guess, is the biological term. Right? The way this is translated, we'll say, in the Gemara, this sanya dibi means, it's the pouch at the beginning of the large intestine. So meaning we're going to see the stomachs, we're talking about four different stomachs, or four different parts of the stomach. So again, this cecum is the pouch at the beginning of the large intestine. V'chin Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, sanya dibi, right? It is this sanya dibi, this cecum, pouch at the beginning of the large intestine. Rabbi Shmuel says, it is, is tumcha de karsa. So ultimately, again, we'll say the way this translates is the stomach of the pouch. Right. So again, we're going to see specifically to what they're referring to. They have a machloka, so I'll say as to what the Mishnah uses the word keres, and the Mishnah tells you that by keres, if it has a perforation, ultimately the animal is a treifa. What we're beginning to see, I'll say now, this is important because as you already saw from the Mishnah, different stomachs have different psulim. So therefore, again, our definitions are going to be very important. So we see already that there's a little bit of machlokas as to what the keres is. So Ravasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, makom tzayesh bekeres. There is a narrow part. There is a narrow part in the keres. Ve'ini yodea ezehu. But I do not know where it is or what it is. Okay, very helpful. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Nafal karsa bebiris. Well, sorry, Nachman bar Yitzchak says, thank you very much. The keres has just fallen into a pit. So that expression of the keres has fallen into a pit is another way of saying you are of no help to us. Right? In other words, that you've described the part of the stomach and you don't know where it is, you don't know what it is, so you haven't contributed anything to this discussion. We will say, what is the keres? The keres is the part of the stomach from where it narrows and goes down. Rabbi Yaakov bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel, Makom She'in Bo Milas. Rabbi Yaakov bar Nachmani will say that the keres is the part of the stomach from where there is no milas. I will say, if you look at Rashi, it's actually very interesting. Makom She'in Bo Milas, it's almost right across in Rashi. Makom Yesh Bekeres Chalak She'in Sham Osod Semer Shegorin Baros Gemina Keres. We'll say, so apparently, on the inside of the stomach, there are these wool-like fibers, I guess, that aid with digestion or something. So therefore, I will say, when you get to the keres, the inside of the stomach is smooth. So the keres is the part of the stomach that is smooth without those fibers. Rabbi Avina Amar, Gniva, Mishmei Drav, Tefach Beveshet Samoch Lekeres, Zohi Keres Hapanimis. So what's another definition? It is the Tefach of the Veshet, which is closest to the keres, that is called the keres hapanimis. So we'll say, so the tefach of the veshet, remember again, the veshet is the esophagus. So the tefach of the veshet, as it enters into the inner keres, it enters into the inner stomach, sorry, the tevach of the veshet as it enters into the keres, that is the keres hapanimis. Omri b'me'arava mishmeid Rabbi Yossi bar Chinuna. Kol ha-keres kulo, zoi keres hapanimis. I'm going to say the entire paunch, right, of the animal, this is called the keres hapanimis. Ve'ezui keres achitzo, so what is considered to be the outer keres, baser ha-chofes rov ha-keres. I'm going to say this refers to the flesh, which covers over the majority of the keres. Rav Barav Huna Omri, mifar asa. Siho ultimately says that, it was Hevlik Yerashi, he says, Mifaraso, Tzat ha-keres ha-roes ha-karka, ha-nira miyad kesha poschin ha-behema lo-hotzi ha-semi ayim, v'ahinu de-mefari sheikha de-bari tafi. So it's actually very interesting. He says that the keres, right, he says, Mifaraso, the keres, I will say, is the part, if you were, see, a lot of these are described when you are cutting open the animal, and the way the animal is cut open is when it's hanging by its hind legs. So ultimately, again, if the animal is hanging by its hind legs and you cut it open, that ultimately again is the keres, the mifar asa. My mifar asa. I will say, what is the mifar asa? Amravavia hecha de pari tabchi. Ultimately, again, it's the place that ultimately again where the tabach, where the butcher cuts open the animal. Benarda avdi kiraba barafuna. In Narda, they conducted themselves like Rabba Barafuna. Amr Rashi Damemar. So Rashi said Damemar. Kohani Shmaisa Mai. So what do we do with all of these? So I just want to point out, all of these discussions are trying to figure out definitions of the keres hapanimis. In other words, I say, apparently the Mishnah is using terms which the Gemara feels are not totally descriptive. In other words, anyway, they're not totally descriptive because halacha lemaisa, you have machlokas about ultimately again what it means. So there have actually Rav Meimar, klani shmaisa samai. What do I do with all of these particular opinions? Amalei kulu shaychin midrav baravuna vidravasi. Right. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. So udravasi. I'm sorry. Kulan shaychin midrav baravuna. So I say all the marshay midrav baravuna udravasi on v'yochanam mai. Amalei kvar pirshav acha brava. Udrabi Avino, Udrabi Udibne Ma'arava Mai. We'll say, what about the opinions ultimately of Rabbi Avino and B'nai Ma'arava? So we'll say, again, we're trying to figure out how to plug in all of these definitions. Amarlei, Hani, Vadai Pligi. These certainly argue on the definition of the Mishnah. So fine, so we'll say, for our purposes again, so what we emerge with over here, the Rambam adopts the position, Shulchan Aruch does as well, that the entire keres is called the keres hapanimis, so what we call the paunch. Right, what we call the paunch of the animal, that is the definition of the keres hapanimis for us. Right, that ultimately again is called the keres hapanimis, and therefore again halacha lemaisa, if it develops a nekev, if it develops a perforation, then halacha lemaisa again the animal is a treifa. Rabbi Huda Omer Bigidola. So we'll say, remember again, going back to the Mishnah for just a moment. So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Huda holds by. I'll just read to the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda Omer. Hagidola tefach vakitana beruba. A large animal ultimately again will become a trefa with a tefach, and the kitana ultimately again, the kitana with the rove. So says the Gemara. Rashi in Mishnah already says gidola kitana lava gasa dakamar ella. We're going to define this now in the Gemara anyway. So we'll say we are on Nun Amud Beis, 50b, at the two dots, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 8 lines up from the bottom. I see a lot of blank expressions. I'm going to give you the Maram Mokum. Let's say this again. I'm just assuming you're so riveted that you have lost the place in the Gemara. Good. It's 8 lines up from the bottom, Nun Amud Beis, 50b. Shabi Huda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bigidola." Amr Rabbi Yom Bar Yafes. Amr Rabbi Lazar. Lo gidola gidola mamish, velo kitana kitana mamish. I will say Rabbi Yehuda doesn't literally mean gidola. Doesn't mean gidola, a large animal, and kitana doesn't mean a small animal. Ella kol shenikra ba tefach, velo haviru. But Rabbi, what it means is this: I will say this conversation is still continuing regarding the keres, right? We're still guarding the stomach. So the Gemara says, "Kol shenikra ba tefach." Velo havi ruba, zohi sheshaninu begidola tefach. I will say, any time that the keres has a tear that is a tefach, long or a tefach wide, even though that tear, it does not comprise the majority of the stomach, nevertheless, that's the case, I will say, of gedola tefach. So the keres is large. I don't know if it's large, because I will say, a tefach tear does not go ahead and comprise the majority. Nevertheless, that's going to be problematic. Rupa v'lohavi tefach. What if, on the other hand, the majority of the stomach is torn, right? But yet what? It's not a tefach. So we'll say, so that's the case of where there's a rove of his torn, but it's not a tefach. Zohi sheshaninu. Zohi sheshaninu b'ketana b'ruba. We'll say that's the case where we learn that's what? That even if it's a katan, right? Even if it's small, but it's torn along the rove. Ruba v'lo havi tefach pshita. We'll say, I don't understand. If it's a case where the majority of the keres is torn, but it's not a tefach, why don't the Mishnah teach, why don't the Rebbe teach that that's a trefa? That's obvious. We'll say any time that the majority of anything, truth is, remember again, for many of the organs, you don't even need a rove. But certainly, again, if you have rove of it, it's torn, even if it's small, so therefore, again, the rove is not a tefach. Is that not pashat that the animal is a trefa? Lo tricha, da havya tefach b'mashu. We'll say what it's saying is that rove of the keres is less than a tefach. Why? What would I have thought? Mao de tema, ad de mikri ba tefach, lo havi trefa. So I will say, in a case like that, I would have thought that it only becomes a trefa once there is at least a tefach of a tear. Kamashon, that is not the case. Amar geniva, amar av asi, nikdira kisela trefa. Ultimately, and I will say, if the stomach was pierced like a sela, for instance, if you take a look at Rashi, nikdira, Rashi says, kimin aruba al gula, v'rochav hikdira kisela mapea rechavo. So I will say, this case over here is that it was pierced kemin aruga gedola, like in a circular fashion, verochav hakidera kisela, and the width of it is like a sela. Ultimately, again, it is a trefa. Why? Shem timtach tamod al tefach. Because it will say, if you were to stretch this out, you would be able to get the tefach. So also, what it's telling you over here is if the nature of the perforation is round, so as long as it is the size of a sela, not as long, but if it's the size of a sela, then ultimately, again, that would translate into a tefach, and therefore would be a trefa. Amr b'chibar abba, l'didi mifarsh le'minei d'gniva, amavra d'naharda. So we'll say, I heard an explanation of Gniva's statement while I was standing on the bridge of Narda, kisela kshera. Ultimately, I'm about to say, if it's like a sela amount of preparation in the keres, ultimately, again, it'll be kosher. Yoser mikasela, if it's more than a sela, trefa. Ultimately, again, then the animal will be a trefa. The kama yeser mikasela, but say, how much more than a sela does the preparation have to be in the keres, ultimately, to make it a trefa? Amar Rav Yosef, kegon da'ailis tlas kashyasa b'tzipa, b'duchka, b'lotzif, b'duchka, below tzifa b'ravacha. So I'll say ultimately what it means is as follows. That would be, so we'll say, if you want to understand what a sela-like perforation means in the keres of an animal, so we'll say it is a hole that is large enough, da'ailin tlas kashyasa b'tzipa b'duchka, which means what we'll say, Rashi's kashyasa are gar'ine tamra, date pits, three date pits, b'tzifa, Rabbi say, b'tzifa means, with, Rashi says, im ochel, three date pits with the dates on them. Or in other words, three dates, you will say, biduchka. You could get three dates through that opening. You know, biduchka, what that means, look at Rashi. Bitsifa, im ochel, and shasi, osei, kishokun, osei, kansu, shosha, benekev, biduchak. Biduchak means that what? You get it through that size hole, but with force. You have to push it through. Below tsifa, but I will say three date pits without any dates on them, or just date pits, beravcha. Ultimately, it could go through easy. So we'll say, so that's the size. So what it's saying over here is, because we'll say normally, again, a tefach would be measured like in length, right? So remember, all these shurim would be given as a tefach in length. So if you have a cut like a tefach, the Gemara is just trying to figure out, what if it's just not a straight cut? But let's say, again, it's like a circular cut, something like that. So how big would such a cut have to be? So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you, if you want to understand, it's the size, if you were looking, let's say, at a circumference, it's the size in which you could get three date pits with the date flesh on it, bedochak, or three date pits by themselves, easily through it. That would be the size of a hole in the keres that would render the animal a trefa. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Shkoyach.
I'm a little confused. Part of the idea of
just a little
could be like mortal wounds, or I'm kind of understanding.